7:07. Tom, we got the big old wooden wagon heading back to the barn. He's spreading 2 hours of manure. The horse is going to get up next to you. Hold on a second. Get Patrick's mom to help me lift the horse up. Patrick's mom, help me lift the horse up. There we go. Legend.
You know, since this is his last day, I think we should let clean out the remaining bits.
You think so?
Yeah, you know, one last time.
You know what I like to do? I like to look over at Patrick's mom and yell at her, like, hey, have me fit the horse up. Did you see the scared look on her face? Like, what horse? Where? All right, by the way, these 3 minutes of radio should convince you that your son made the right move to get out of this business. Okay. All righty. Head tax update. Is there a head tax update?
Well, it's up to you to update it for us, John, because the testimony has ended.
Oh, no.
But we have 8 hours of it streaming that we can pot up any moment.
Really? Okay, let's play some of it.
Okay.
All right, here we go. And every time they say head tax,
we take a bite of Patrick's cake.
Here we go.
Everyone agrees we have to have more low-income housing to get people off the streets. Who is going to pay for it? Thank you.
Thank you, Anitra.
Darn it.
This is not going well.
No cake. Hang on.
John Grant.
Oh, good. John
followed
Grant.
By Gene Darcy.
Oh, good.
I don't see John, so is that... Okay. Come on forward, John. Gene, and then I think it's Jorge Hadez, perhaps?
Perhaps, yeah. Okay. Imagine me reading the names.
Thank you. Thank you, council members. My name is John Grant.
Oh, John Grant.
I'm a city member of District 2 and also with the Housing for All Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to note that when we talk about homelessness, we need to talk about real solutions. And the solution to homelessness is housing. We have heard from folks that we can't have property taxes weighing people down. This is why this is the most progressive choice out of a series of options that are in front of you. I think that when we, if this tax is implemented over 10 years, it would build thousands of units of affordable housing.
Stop.
And to the folks who say that this is going to be a job.
Okay. Stop for a second. Will he use the term head tax in the remaining 30 seconds that he has? Yes or no, Tom?
No.
Okay, here we go.
Folks in this room, and we know that when we have labor and the progressive community working together, we can create true solutions. So this is actually a good bill for jobs, and it's something that we need to do to address our crisis now. Thank you.
Once again, I'm right.
All right. By the way, the update on it is there's going to be rallies, I think, starting at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock.
There's another one this afternoon, I think 2:30 maybe.
Okay.
Well, there's public hearing, I believe, at 2:30. I think there's a rally at 1:30.
Okay. So Shama Sawant's going to be down there again, and then also the iron workers that... We're assuming that that's a second group. So you've got the people that are for taxing the employees... And then the people that are against
taxing. John, I don't know if you heard the update on the news. According to Hannah, there are now labor unions that have come out in support of the head tax.
Oh, really?
So you have a battle of the unions as well.
That's good. All right. Let's see. The $75 toll or the $200 martini. Seattle's future is nearer than you think. Danny Westneed has the piece. And Sully said that he's been saying this sort of stuff for the last year. And now finally Westneed puts it in the paper.
Well, but what's interesting about this, okay, so Danny Westneed picks up on an article, I think it was in the Seattle Times a couple of days ago, about some poll that said, yeah, the thing that we're most concerned about is the high cost of living, that's Trump now, rain and traffic as the biggest hassle about living in the Pacific Northwest. The difference of what Danny Westneed's column is about is that, yeah, we complain about how expensive it is, and yet he says, there I was, finding myself sipping an $18 martini, and... He says, this is an example of it may be too expensive to live here, but people are willing, apparently, to pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds that something of a conundrum. And he says, for instance, let's look at the tolls. The tolls are such that they're supposed to tap out at $10 because nobody's going to want to pay $10 on a toll.
Right.
My God, he says, well, now we have so many people willing to pay $10 that you get in the toll lane, you're paying $10 and you still can't move.
Mm-hmm.
So he says... First off, he acknowledges that we apparently the tolls are too low. Everyone bitches the tolls are too high. The tolls are clearly too low.
Right.
We ought to let it rise. And so he gives some instances. for what that's going to be. He says, for instance, in D.C., they have a no-toll cap. They're the only city that has a no-toll cap. What's it worth to you? It turns out that it's $47 for a 9-mile stretch in Washington, D.C. That's what it kind of bounces out at. That's $5 per mile. He says on I-405, that equals a top toll of $75.
Yeah.
And he's suggesting that we ought to let the marketplace, as you're always calling for, John, let the marketplace dictate. If you want, say, 20 cars in the express lanes, then you take the top 20 payers, whatever they're willing to pay.
Right.
And, would we go there? And the philosophy of Washington Department of Transportation is, no, we'll never go above that. We'll never go above 10. It's bad. It's not good for society. And so they're going to look for other ways to save money. And it just raised the issue. Yeah, why not
all the way? So then why do I bother getting into that lane? If I pay the $10, what am I getting for my $10? I'm supposed to get 45 miles an hour.
I assume it's faster than if you're in the general lanes, that's all. So you're paying to be, maybe you're 5 miles fast, 5 miles an hour faster.
Right, but legally, they have to be able to you traveling at 45 miles. So what do I get for my $10? Yeah. I get to move 10 miles an hour faster or 5 miles an hour faster. By putting a cap on it, I guess they don't realize you always want to allow the market to dictate what somebody's willing to pay for something.
Yes, but why not? See, I think that's interesting.
But it's not good for society.
I don't know. I mean, what is the social... the social argument to not just let it go to the highest bidder. Why isn't that? But the Department of Transportation says, no, that would be mighty unpopular. In other words, there's already $10.
Because then if it went up to $40, you wouldn't have as many people in the lane. You'd have the people that are freely deciding whether or not they want to spend their $40. Rather than the government putting a cap on it, anytime the government controls a price for anything, you create scarcity. So if they're going to put $10 in, the number of people going over will be reduced. If you let it go to 40, guess what will happen?
Yeah.
You have very few people in there.
Yeah, it would literally be the Lexus lane. They always talk about that. And I think it's an interesting philosophy that that WSHOT has adopted to say no, because there'd be more. They might feel like there's more bad PR that comes with that. So whatever money they would gain actually could blow up in their face. I don't know. That's what I was going to ask Chris about, the philosophy that's undergirding that.
I think that they're scared. I think they're scared of the press that would say, look at this. It's risen because the one happened in New York, in Washington, D.C., near Dulles. Yeah. I think it went to $67 or something. Okay,
the article says $47.
$47,
but if they applied that rate to the entire stretch here in this neck of the woods, it'd be $75. Can you imagine the house? Would you pay $75, John, to go, 45 miles an hour? You'd probably get to go faster. I'd be surprised.
If I were paying $75, I'd want to go 130 miles an hour.
Well, you get across faster.
What do I get for $75?
That's a good question. How many people would there be? I think you want to, if you got paid $75, I think you'd want to be able to go 70.
Well, look at this. If I'm on my way to go do an auction, right, and they're paying me a lot of money to do the auction because I'm going to raise them more money than any other auction, then it's worth it.
Yeah, I see.
Then I'm like, I got to get there. I got to get on stage. I want to do a sound check and stuff. I'll pay the $75 because I know I'm going to make X amount of dollars when I get there. So go ahead and charge me $75.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody's going to some big business meeting and they're going to clinch a deal and they're going to sign a bunch of money and they're like, well, $75 is just the cost of doing business.
I wonder how many of our listeners who are usually in their cars are going to feel about allowing you to pay $75, because that means that they are not going to get in that same lane as you.
But why is it at 75? It's at 75 because they're trying to squeeze the... Right,
yes.
Right.
No, I know.
They're trying to squeeze the demand side.
You're right. It's a pure capitalist system, but I still bet that most of the drivers listening to us right now would complain.
Okay. Sorry. You could spend your $75 somewhere else. I don't have cable. Okay?
So there you go.
There you go. I'm saving it somewhere. And Danny also points to the fact that there's a $200 martini. There's a $200 martini, so people will talk about the $200 martini. It's the same place. There's a steak restaurant in Philadelphia that said, let's have the most expensive cheesesteak. It's $700.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So the people go to there to try with 10 friends the $700 cheesesteak.
Yeah. It's a stunt.
But it is interesting that eventually some people do change their behavior depending on prices. Like, for instance, remember when gas hit $5 a gallon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People were giving away 8-cylinder cars, right? So then it was all electric car sales went up. People got on buses. They did whatever they could. They started carpooling. Because the price really started to affect them. So at some point, the price does have an effect upon behavior. So Danny's talking about drinking an $18 martini. Well, if nobody ordered the $18 martini, they would drop the price until finally they find the proper number.
And that's what he's pointing out, that apparently that proper number is a lot higher than most of us think.
Right.
because people aren't spending that much.
Right. And you just sort of get used to it after a while. You know what's interesting? When you leave here and go down to Portland and spend some time in Portland, holy moly, do you notice a difference in prices?
It's cheaper?
Oh, now, of course, they have no sales tax. That's the big thing. So you don't get the 10% tax on top of that.
And when you go down to Portland, you're not paying the income tax.
Right.
They have an income tax down there. So, as a Washingtonian, the prices seem a lot lower because they get you on the income tax.
Well, you go down there and have dinner. Yeah. Two people have dinner, and it turns out to be like $52. If it were up here in Seattle, it would be like $80. $152 altogether. All right. Google CEO unveils a new era of robots that sound a lot like humans.
Yeah.
I love this.
This is a great advance.
Yes.
You know, from the computer days or I want a sandwich.
Here we go. So this is the human. We're demonstrating that the person on the one end of the phone is a hairdressing place, and the person does not realize she's speaking to a computer.
Yes. Google Duplex, it's called.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hello, how can I help you?
Hi, I'm calling to book a women's haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd.
Sure, give me 1 second.
That's a computer talking.
Mm-hmm.
No, the other way.
I know.
Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
There we go.
Okay. They're put in ums and ahs. There's a hesitation. Mm-hmm. It can handle somewhat, you know, complex questions like, okay, this doesn't work. What kind of haircut does she need? 12 p.m. is the tip off to me. Do you know anybody who says, hey, can I make an appointment at 12 p.m.?
You don't like the way she did that?
No, people say noon
right,
or something or at 12. But the 12 p.m., I think, is the one tip off. And then finally, when they say, what kind of haircut? Oh, just a regular woman's haircut. Clearly, there's the artificial intelligence is not deep enough to be able to give a particular style.
Well, maybe they had a whole bunch of stuff loaded in there. What kind of, just a haircut? Because you can ask for highlights. She wants to get frosting. She wants to get berm or something else.
But we could have thrown that in, but it'd be even more impressive. But still, it sounded much more like a human than a computer.
Now, do you think the person on the other end of the phone needs to be told you're speaking to a computer or a robot?
Boy, I don't know. That is an interesting. You know, for instance, that conversation was recorded.
Right.
Now, I don't know if whoever they were recording was a real person or if it was just somebody, you know, maybe they were brought in as an experiment. We'll give you $75, John.
Now, that sounded like a legitimate exchange between somebody that was trying to book the appointment. Fun little article in the Wall Street Journal today, just real fast. So this guy said, I want to see if I can live my life without doing anything with Google. And he says it was almost impossible.
Really?
Because YouTube and all the other places. He said, I tried not to get into the search bar, this and that. He goes, almost, I'd go two steps out and I'd run into Google.
Yeah. You need to go get a cabin in the woods and hang out there, detached. But anyway, right now the key is AI is the future of Google. They're pouring all their energies into artificial intelligence, and that robot is the prime example.
And two articles that came out adjoining that just 2 days ago, don't fear AI. It's not AI is going to take your job. AI is going to work with you and make your job that much more enjoyable.
So said the AI. A robot.
Wow, this is really enjoyable being replaced by a robot. The Melbourne woman who claimed the world burpee record, and this is a big deal for all of us, Tom.
This means absolutely nothing to me, but everything to you, John. So go ahead, discourse.
Well, people at gyms will have T-shirts on that say, and burpees hate you too. Burpee is a move. I think the Army came up with it originally.
Oh,
it's from a standing position down to a squat. You throw yourself flat, stomach onto the ground. You push yourself back up, and then with your legs, you leap up into the air, and your hands have to go up in the air. That's the way most people do these burpees. It's a horrible thing. It uses the biggest muscles in your body. So it jacks your heart rate way up. And, you know, at the gym I work at, and if you leave your water bottle behind, they make you, if you want your water bottle back, they make you do 25 burpees. And by like the 15th, you're like, this is not fun.
Is it called a burpee because you burp when you have to do it?
I don't know why they gave the name Burpee Tom. But this woman does the burpees to win the Guinness World Book of Records.
Record.
Well, now people are upset. People that know burpees are like, that's no burpee. All she did was she read what the Guinness described that she had to do, which was, I think, hands on the ground, legs had to move forward and then back. Is that what it was? And then she had to lift back.
You had to jump and have, I think, your hands and your feet off of the ground at the same time. So just kind of like a little hop, and then she moves her feet back, a little hop.
Right.
Doesn't do a full push-up, doesn't fully extend her body when she stands
up. That sounds easy.
Just right. So that's how she was able to do it.
Yeah.
And she did it for how many hours?
I think it was for 1 hour, I think it was how many she could do.
Yeah, 1 hour, and I know, 1,000 burpees or something. So people in gyms all around the world, Tom, are up in arms.
They're pitchforks.
They're mad. Oh. She just took advantage of it. Guinness needs to tighten things up a little bit and say, no, that's not officially how we describe a burpee. But it's one more example of somebody getting a Guinness World Book of Records without me.
Instead of you. That, and if you're new to the show, this has been John's goal since he was, 8 years old?
Yeah.
I want to get into the Guinness Book of World Records, and he has failed on every attempt.
I was going to grow the longest thumbnail, but I gave up on that in eighth grade. But I had to say that I'm thinking about going for planking, because that seems to be the easiest one to go get. Okay. You know what a plank is?
I know what a plank is. It's for how long, I assume?
4 hours and 23 minutes.
Easy.
Yeah, you could read a book while you're
doing it. That's what the guy does.
Oh, is that right?
He watches movies on
Netflix
while he's planking.
You could do the Godfather trilogy or the Lord of the Rings.
It's 4 hours and 23 minutes, and I, at this point, I am up to 3.5 minutes.
So, hey, you got to start somewhere.
That's right, Tom. All right. Come back. We'll play a special song for Patrick's goodbye. Plus, I'll tell you, nobody in NBA history has ever come back from a 3-game deficit. But after Kevin Hart speaks to the Philadelphia 76ers, look out, Tom. The Celtics better tighten their belts. We'll come right back. Tom and Curly Show with your letters. And if you want to get an opportunity to say goodbye to Patrick, this is your opportunity. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. And if you have any advice for our new producer coming in, please share that with us as well. Right back.
Oh, in honor of Patrick's last day, even though they're not a paid sponsor anymore, Tom. We're going to do this just for Patrick. Get ready, Ursula.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. If your home's filling up with sewer water and human waste is pouring out of the walls, you might either have a house that's been possessed, or maybe you need to get yourself a trench from Trenchless in Seattle.
TrenchlessInSeattle.com.
TrenchlessInSeattle.com. TrenchlessInSeattle.com. Oh, TrenchlessInSeattle.com. It's Trenchless in Seattle. Trenchless in Seattle. TrenchlessInSeattle.com. Thank you. There we go. Freebie free. That's for you, Patrick. Oh, the good old days. Whatever happened to them? Seriously. Let me just say something. Right. If the guy from Trenchless is listening.
Yeah.
What the hell? I don't know what you paid, but what we did for your business on this
show.
Really?
I think you were so successful, every trench was trenched out.
I'll tell you something. Are we on the air right now?
I hope not.
The guy said, you know what? We really can't handle the additional business.
That's like right.
Turning him away. All righty. Listen, this is, as you might have missed it, at 9:30 we announced the big news. Patrick's last day on the air with us as the producer. He's going on to great things. Seattle Police Department is desperate to find people. They have chosen Patrick to go on to the academy.
Our loss is their gain.
Yes. It just goes to show you the bar is...
No, it shows you how...
I'm going to speak on behalf of Patrick.
All right.
Because he is a very modest person, and you give him so much grief, and I know it's out of love.
But, he's modest with good reason.
Pat, the Seattle Police Department is getting a complete class act.
That's
an
true.
Amazing person. There's not one person in this building who said, my gosh, Patrick, you are going to make an awesome police officer.
You're right. In all honesty, the people of Seattle will be well served by having somebody like Patrick out there in the streets.
Absolutely. And it is amazing. In fact, it's become a running joke with Patrick that everyone, when they hear what he's going to do, they say, you're going to be a great cop. And Patrick says, why does everybody say that? It's like so the unanimity of support for Patrick.
Because you can think
Patrick.
About the people that work around here at Cairo. They're like, well,
oh, my gosh.
Like
right.
Sully.
He might be the only one.
Right. Sully is a cop? No way.
Right? Oh, Sully's
Don
born.
O'Neill.
I think Sully's
Don
born
O'Neill
to be
is a
cop.
Police officer.
Oh, blue light, my heart.
All right.
Good anyway, you, Patrick.
But no, we're going to miss Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick has exactly
not that much. Let's be honest.
let's temper it a bit.
Yeah, come on.
No, I think the key to what is going to make Patrick a great cop is his temperament.
Yeah, absolutely.
He has the best temperament in the building.
He rolls with it. Do you want to take care of the last bits of news?
If we have to.
Kevin Hart, who I guess, is Kevin from Philadelphia? I didn't know if he was.
I don't know, but he is front, court, and center cheering on the 76ers throughout the playoffs.
And if you don't even follow basketball, you won't really care about this segment. But
or Kevin Hart,
Kevin
for that
Hart.
matter.
The 76ers are down 3 to the Celtics. They have won 1, but no
down 3
team has ever come back.
Right.
Kevin Hart here with a message to the Philadelphia 76ers. Let me tell you something, fellas. The one thing we do not do is give up. You hear me? Now, when I hear things like a team has never come back from being down 0-3, you know what that makes me think about? That makes me think about making history. That makes me think about achieving new levels of greatness. That makes me think about doing what the naysayers say you cannot do. In Philadelphia, we are constantly doubted. We are constantly thrown under the bus as if we're always the underdog. I will be damned if I stand by and allow you guys to buy into that concept. Instead, what I will do is scream and shout and make you understand that you are great. We'll make you understand that trusting the process means trusting you to get to this moment and do the job that you know you can do. Win!
There you go. Boy, could not be more a relevant piece of news than Kevin Hart cheering on the Philadelphia 76ers fans and players, Tom.
Well, the thing is, the Celtics are going to knock him out tonight, and we'll all put an end to it.
Not before we play this song. This is a song they used to play when I used to sit there in the stands there at the Spectrum and cheer on the 76ers, Tom.
Yeah.
George McGinnis, right? Julius Erving, Lloyd World Free, just to name a few.
Al Greer.
I think he wasn't there, not at this point. Here it comes now. Listen to the lyrics. They had the really short shorts. Julius Erving had the giant afro. Here they come. Yeah.
It's like a bad 70s sitcom.
Oh, no kidding. This is where it gets really bad. Number one. They're going to count down. And they're going to count up. Here we go. Everybody.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers.
Coming down that way.
10, 9, 8, 76ers.
See? Oh, that's clever.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6ers.
So they're clever. How'd they come up with that?
10, 9, 8, 76ers.
Now they do prime numbers.
Hold the seed inside you, baby, and you feel it growing. Are you happy? You know it, that you're having my baby.
I'm a woman in love, and I love what it's doing to me.
Having my baby.
I'm a woman in love, and I love what it's going through me.
Okay, wait a minute.
Have to keep it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't put you through it. You could have swept it from your life, but you wouldn't do it. No, you haven't, my baby.
Oh, you wouldn't do it.
Baby.
Yeah.
I'm a woman in love, and I know what it's doing to me.
Oh, my baby.
There we go.
Okay, I'm going to do the news in 10 minutes. Is anyone going to believe me?
Get out of here. Get out. There she goes.
Ursula, well done.
She's a good sport. Ursula, don't you think?
She's a great sport, but I think that made her uncomfortable.
No. Ursula, what do you think?
Oh, I'm always hydrated.
Yeah. All right.
You can't play that anymore after
today. No. By the way, the reason we play that is because it's Patrick's last day. We let him choose some of his favorite moments.
What?
Y'all didn't know if you heard or not. Yeah.
Day?
Hey,
oh, no.
Tom, here comes the mailman brought to you by Doug's Linwood Mazda. Good to have Doug's Linwood Mazda back again.
Just in time for Patrick's leaving.
That's right. Here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman,
As you can see, I'm the mailman. Ain't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know,
Patrick's mom bopping along to the music. Hey, you know who you're sitting next to? Teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Say hello to Patrick's mother.
Hello.
There we go. We're going to get to letter of the day, but let's get started now, Tom.
Well, first off, let's just deal with the fact that we reintroduced the trenchless commercial on the request of Patrick, yes, our soon departed producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick wasn't the only one that was happy. 253 writes in, thank you for the trenchless song.
I mean, sales department needs to take this to trenchless. Yes. Having Miss Trenchless in Seattle, so much fun. And 206, thank you, Patrick, for the trenchless in Seattle. Love it. And again, thanks. 425 says, thanks for the song. And Aunt Neil
Nell
says, hey, Patrick, good luck. It's been a trip listening to your voice over the waves. See you at the beach.
That is my aunt Nell. My actual aunt.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Right.
The one time on the show when like a family member actually wrote
in.
Yeah,
it got on. The first and last time. And again, keeping with this theme of Patrick's last show, we hear from Weston Puyallup,
yeah,
a longtime regular. Say it isn't so. I love Patrick. He is the heart of the show.
Oh, please,
without
Wes.
Him, the show will be heartless. You've always been great to me. You will be missed.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. Didn't that make you feel good there, Patrick?
Yeah, I could hear Tom choking up a little bit.
Sean in Arlington says, Patrick is leaving the show. No, 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 no. Oh, now, what about me? Who's going to dig through the never-ending run-on sentences full of trips I send in for the mailman? Patrick's the only one I trust to make sure some of my nonsense doesn't make it to John, where the combination of my nonsense and John's quick responses could cause social devastation. When I say we, I mean I will miss Patrick. Thank you, Patrick, for all you've done and for the false hope that you would never leave the show. Sean in Arlington.
We also hear another long-timer. Toodles!
That's right.
So sad to hear you are moving on. It makes me sad. I remember your first day as if it was yesterday. Have a huge career as a cop. Make sure and pull over John as many times as you can.
Yes.
And pick up Tom when he's waiting for the bus, soaking wet.
Jim in Elma says, John, you didn't make a cash promise or wager that Patrick would never leave the show. I'll be sad when he leaves as he brings so much humor to the Tom and Curly show. Someone needs to pay up.
That's funny. And at 206,
mm-hmm,
Patrick's patience with John will stand him in good stead as a police officer.
Right.
Godspeed to you, Patrick.
360, our loved, beloved area code. So how are we supposed to know if it's going to be cocaine on our pizza on Thursday if Patrick leaves? That's true.
That's right. He provided it, right?
Yep.
Larry in West Seattle. Patrick, good luck. Your wit, work, and torpedoing Curly has inspired my crew and I for many shows.
Mm-hmm.
We have some last requests. One, make sure your taser battery is topped off when you catch Curly jaywalking and leave the body cam on. It'll go viral. And two, people who drive Porsches deserve tickets.
Thank you, Larry. True to the end. Jacob in Shoreline says, going to miss Patrick and your contagious laugh caught in the background of the show. Not sure I'll find Curly's inappropriate jokes as funny anymore. You go. Maybe I'll see you at the police academy, though. I'm applying for the Everett Police myself. Good for you,
Patrick,
Jacob.
Starting a trend, maybe. Yeah. 425. Wouldn't that be great if all the police forces in the region were Tom and Curly listeners?
Yeah.
425. Patrick, WTF.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot harder to use you to perpetuate my radio celebrity status if you aren't working at the station. You better train your replacement well. Good luck working for the man. It's going to be way less creepy next time you attempt to put handcuffs on me, but it's bound to happen. Joey, the garbage man.
425. You know, Patrick, SPD wouldn't allow you to wear your Sounders cap on the job. That's right. People that do watch along on the live video.
Yeah, that's
scene,
right.
He always wears a hat.
And Joseph in where, John?
Hold on a second. Yeah. Was he born with a hat on, Patrick's mom? Was he? Had a hat on, right? Right.
He came out with a hat on.
Made the delivery to that, right? Okay.
Oh, that's funny. All right.
Hey, good job, by the way. You're funnier than your son. Here we go.
That's right. So, Joseph and where, John?
Puyallup.
All right. Patrick, I will miss you. Any individual that can deal with the insanity of Tom and Curly, maybe more John than Tom, is special.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why you or anyone would go to work for the Seattle Police Department, but I appreciate it, and I'm impressed with your decision. It's, for the most part, a thankless job. No matter what you do, someone will be pissed off. On the other hand, anyone that can deal with those cheer will be able to survive the streets of Seattle. No problem.
Here we go. Joseph in Bellevue, the other Joseph. He says, like thousands of East Side brothers and sisters, I head across I-90 so I can be in Seattle on this historic day, the last day of Patrick as the producer. I started tearing up, especially when you played the stirring Canadian song. I must not have been alone in my emotions as all other drivers on I-90 slowed to a crawl. An obvious homage to Patrick's last day. You should have been there, Patrick. Thousands of cars crawling along in a snail's pace, weaving back and forth from lane to lane, as if to waving goodbye to you. You could just stood on the shoulders and tossed moving infractions into the air and made the city millions. Loyal listeners will miss you like they will miss what's his name. Who's that? Now go and spread your zaniness to the rest of the Seattle law enforcement community. That's Joseph in Bellevue. You have to understand this. The relationship developed between Patrick and these people that write to the show, because he is the person that comes in contact with them.
He reads everything that's sent to the show.
Right. So he sits there through the entire show, not listening to what we're talking about, but by reading all your nonsense.
Damn him. On the sibling relationships, we're getting off Patrick for just a second. From Kari, not Carrie, in Sumner. Mm-hmm. I found the article you discussed regarding sibling relationships interesting, but full of holes. Personally, I find that a great relationship is a delicate balance of positive affirmation, such as reading the funny things they write to the masses, paired with putting them in their place every now and then, such as habitually mispronouncing their name, almost to the point where it seems intentional. Thank you, Carrie.
Radio Show 206. Oh, John, 3 more minutes of that shtick with Patrick, and your last 4 listeners would have changed the station. Patrick, thank you for your service in both to Seattle and the other lost cause, the Tom and Curly Show.
Very funny. And 360, I cried for a few hours when Chaz left, but now Patrick is leaving? I'm not sure how I'm going to go on without him around. My body wasn't ready for this kind of pain.
Well,
okay, we have to...
Teeny tiny lady.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Last letter.
Letter of the day comes from some guy named Patrick, our dearly departed.
Okay.
And it's, dear new Tom and Curly producer.
Ooh.
Before I say bye-bye for the last time, I thought a little crash course on your new gig was in order. Traditionally, a producer may rely on a firm hand to keep the hosts in order, but I find a gentle yet irritating lick on the face more productive.
I like that.
You see, there's a sweet spot on this show that thrives when it's comedically close to coming off the rails.
We call it sometimes tippy-top shape.
Right. It can happen at any moment.
If someone calls me a celebrity, I'll do just about anything. We need a celebrity to drink a half a cup of dog urine. Right. All right.
Oh, you're the man.
What nonprofit's it for?
And it will always surprise you.
Yeah, but you know, Muslims get all the breaks in this country. It's just so unfair to Christians.
If management tells you to cut back on the inside jokes...
Don't you ever do that. Don't you ever do that. I tell you, don't do it.
There you go.
You never know what gem you might miss.
But it's stupid.
Don't forget to lean on reporters like Hannah Scott if you're looking for actual news to put on the show.
No.
But expect the unexpected.
Black leather boots, calf high, by the way, today.
Thanks for noticing.
Yeah, sure. The fur on top. Well, into shoes.
I am.
Okay.
That was uncomfortable.
While Curly is king when it comes to entertaining on the fly, it's Tom's one-liners that reign supreme.
Don't they know how to check for butt wallets?
And if it's a slow news day, ask Sean if he's had any interesting medical procedures in his future.
She lifts up my waistband and goes, good, good, great, good, good, great. And
whoa!
I got a great. Oh, thank you for the great.
This week, we are chronicling his new Botox injection.
What's it about me?
I think about sums it up. But before I go, know this. Out of all the shows in all the markets, from TV to radio to whatever crap you find on the internet, Tom and Curly really know how to light up a room.
Out of time. Bye-bye.
Bye, Patrick.